Morning, everybody. How are you? It's lovely to be doing this in the morning.
Morning.
I want to say it's a nice, bright morning out there, but it's grey and I think stormy. Is it supposed to be stormy?
A beautiful November day.
Ah, yes, November.
Oh, no, sorry. No, not November. Sorry, July. July, I meant. Seems like the sun forgot.
What is genuinely nice is that this Zoom this week seems to be working, whereas last week it was a bit all over the place, and I genuinely think it's because it was hammering it down, affected by the weather.
Don't speak too soon.
True, he says as
you
just
froze.
We might
all turn into Daleks yet.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, we're all right, we're all right. Although Hugh appears to be sitting very still.
I got you.
Can't get a word.
He's just tricking.
Shall we get on with it?
Cock chat.
Jester.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
I'm Hugh Thorpe.
I'm Rachel Nemeth.
And I'm Tom Canning. And welcome to episode 97 of the Real Reading Podcast. Like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod and search for Real Reading Podcast Group to join us on Facebook. Because why wouldn't you? Hugh, are you ever going to get that right? It's not difficult. It's written
much
down.
More difficult. It's
you
much
have
more
97
difficult when we're
practices.
It's much more difficult when you do it on Zoom. There's a delay. And so I don't know when to either say, hello, and then do my bit.
All right, okay, fine. How is it that Rach and I managed to do it at the same time?
You're obviously a superior being.
That's been recorded. We've had that recorded down. So
yeah, that's now on record.
Yes, it is. It is. So, what have we got today? We've got the latest news. We're going to have a little talk about the news. What's been going on in the news? Hugh, do you have any news?
What news?
Boris Johnson was obviously listening last week because he lifted the ban on recreational cricket almost as soon as we came out. So,
what do you want him to
single-handedly resolve that issue for the country? Hugh,
I'm
that
taking
is
full
awesome.
Credit, yeah.
Of course, the thing with that, Hugh, is that since he's done that, it's rained incessantly, which is
that's true. Yeah, that's bound to be the case. And also, I'm working this weekend, so I can't play any either of our games. So
what?
Boris planned that though, because the rain is to sort of wash and cleanse the ball in between each catch and things. So it's all part of the plan. Just to keep it all hygienic.
True.
Yeah.
What do you want Boris to sort out this week, Hugh? Just as you have his ear.
Boris. I would. Well, he's talking about opening gyms up. I don't really care about that.
but, it might be nice for people. A little bit not in your interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are a lot of people who do like going to the gym. So maybe that. But also, just keep an eye on what's happening. And if there are outbreaks around the country, make sure you do the right thing, Mr. Johnson.
I'm still too scared to sort of go anywhere, really. Anywhere that's not essential.
Well,
it depends what you deem essential.
Yes,
really,
it really does,
it?
Doesn't
if,
it? Is a pint of beer essential? Depends. Answers to that. Answers to that and more after Jeremy has told us how you can all get in touch with us.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Real Reading Pod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. So, answers to questions. Well, I wanted to start. So you know how sometimes we make stuff up? being in the media, we make up things. Like, Hugh, you made up
accusing
the,
us then?
Oh no, Hugh, you came up with the green run, Reading's green runs, for example.
That's my question. Yeah, but it is kind of a thing.
I don't know if anybody got that at all.
While I created the concept of the green run is a thing that people can do and notice while they're doing. It's not what Donald Trump would call fake news. It is a it is something just because I'm the creator of it.
Did you come up with the actual concept of the green run, or
am I the only one who doesn't know what the green run is?
Hugh, do you want to explain the green run very quickly?
Yes, green run is like when you're driving down the IDR. No. It is done in a car. You are driving down the IDR. You were able to come off the IDR at Castle Hill by the police station with the green light to get round that roundabout with the lights all green. And then if you're really lucky, you can get all the way up to the lights at Castle Hill and it's still green, or it's changed to green. So you can do that whole bit of road where often you get stuck for about 10 minutes in one go. And it's a glorious feeling and very rarely seen as often in this part of the world. You can probably do it.
He's easily pleased.
Yes.
Clock in the morning. Yes, it is a great feeling, having spent many days of my life on the roads of Reading, sitting at those lights. It's so nice when you don't have to.
My point in bringing this up was, and I can't take credit for this, because someone somewhere made a comment and referred to it as this, but it's Reading's Beatles double. Reading's Beatles double is, and let me just explain. So Reading's Beatles double is the Fox and Hounds in Caversham and a nearby fish bar, which I will explain in a moment. Okay. So just for anybody that doesn't know, the Fox and Hounds in Reading is famous for playing host to the Nurk Twins on the 23rd of April 1960. The Nurk Twins, you may or may not know, were John Lennon and Paul McCartney. I don't know if you've heard of them. They both played in the Fox and Hounds in Gosbrook Road 2 years before they hit the big time. I've nicked this from two separate articles, so it didn't quite go together as seamlessly as I wanted it to. But apparently Lennon and McCartney worked behind the bar and performed at the Fox and Hounds pub, which was then owned by McCartney's cousin Betty Robbins and her husband Mike. The pair received advice from Mike and a warm reception when they performed at the Gosbrook Road pub as the Nurk Twins a few months before they formed the Beatles. So that is part one of the double. Part two is just across
on the side of the pub.
It does indeed, yes. Presented by BBC Berkshire, I think in 2017. I've done my research this week.
You have.
So just across the road and opposite a lovely big park, which I have forgotten the name of, so apologies for that.
Westfield
Park, thank you, Rach, is a fish bar called Wings. And
that's why it's called Wings.
Oh, I've no idea. It could be a huge coincidence. We went and we sat on the in the park, had a beer, and then went from the Fox and Hounds and went to get a fish supper from Wings Fish Bar and had a lovely time last week. sat out on the park, and someone in one of the members of our group said, "Oh, that's strange, isn't it? Do you think he named the band after the fish bar?" No, I don't think he did. If he did, that's fantastic, but I doubt it. I suspect it was the other way around.
I'm going to claim that as an urban truth. Inspired. I'd like to add a little bit of info.
That's our local.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Hugh, you got a little bit of info?
Yes, apparently, obviously I wasn't there at the concert at the time, but the word on the street is that the crowd at the Fox and Hounds for the Nurk Twins on that day was a whopping 3.
Oh.
So if those any of those three people happened to be listening and you saw the Nurk Twins in Caversham in 1960, get in touch. Love to interview you.
Wow.
Is this a little bit like Kevin Keegan's Superstar's Bicycle, where if you listen to everybody you spoke to, that would mean that the entirety of everybody that lived in Bracknell was there on the day that Kevin Keegan fell off his bike. So.
I love those photos. They're on our. Yeah. They're easily to find on our website, and they're absolutely brilliant.
Yes. So that's the Reading Beatles double. I'd love to. There must be more things like that. I'd love to know some of them more, and I'd love to go and do them as well.
Well, I've done that. I've done that lots of times.
Well, there you go. You got the badge.
Realised it was called that. Yeah.
As I say, it was someone commented on something recently, and it tweaked it for me. And I thought, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I thought I must do that. Go and do the Beatles.
You know the other brilliant one?
Go on.
Which I've written about on many occasions. It's the Dalai Lama.
Oh, at Standard Tandoori.
At the Standard Tandoori, yeah. apparently, I'm not sure if it's still the same people who run it now, but certainly in the past that they were like pretty much mates with the Dalai Lama at the time, and so he came to Reading quite a few times.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is marvellous.
Okay, so that's our slightly frivolous bit. We'll move on to the news. Hey guys, it's time for our bit where we discuss some of the things that are going on. There's some big stuff going on in Reading at the moment. Hugh, no less than £221,000 being spent on cycling improvements, albeit temporary, this month. What's going on there?
This is a council project to try to ensure social distancing is kept, and one of the aims is to try and get more people to walk and cycle into the town in a socially safe way. So the air quality has improved dramatically since lockdown, and part of the idea is that the council wants the key for that way. And so it's introducing these cycle lanes and walking areas in various parts of the town. The 220 1,000 is not as much as the council bid for, and so there is a little bit of a shortfall, but they're able to do some work around the town. There are 7 schemes which they hope are completed by the end of August. Redlands Road around near the hospital, all these areas are going to have improvements made to them for people who are walking and cycling. So in Gosport Road, the pavement's going to be made wider so people can social distance more safely. Over Reading Bridge, there are new cycle lanes to encourage people to cycle more safely into Reading, as well as new cycle and bus lanes in Oxford Road to try to, I guess, reduce the amount of cars there. And it's a lot of this is to do with increasing the amount of making it a more pleasurable experience to cycle around Reading. This is kind of on the orders of the government, who said councils should now, because of lockdown and the pandemic, should look to improve facilities for people using bikes and walking. And that's what the council's doing. Of course, the government said that. The council has subsequently bid for the money it needs to do it, and the government's not given them enough. So there's now a shortfall. They need to try and find somewhere to do all these projects. But certainly some of them will get done, and some of them have already been done. The cycle lanes on Reading Bridge are already there. Reading Bridge, of course, is now closed, but the cycle lanes are there. So.
It's a whole other conversation, though, yeah. Isn't it?
There's a whole other conversation there. Yeah.
Hugh, it struck me that with these temporary things and this improvement in air quality, do you think, given that a lot of us are walking a lot more, cycling and all that kind of thing, and using the car a lot less, and certainly working from home, would it be fair to assume that the council might quite like this temporary to become permanent?
I would guess so. Yeah. Certainly in the past, we've talked about they don't make any secret of their inherent long-term desire to reduce the amount of cars, drivers coming into Reading. And these schemes are certainly going to make it safer and hopefully more pleasurable to walk and cycle in Reading. Because a lot of the cyclists I've spoken to have said that driving around Reading, cycling around Reading even, is an absolute nightmare. And you have to be a fairly proficient cycler, brave proficient cycler, to do it that night. They always cite the Rathlin Road roundabout off Reading Bridge as an absolute hotspot for trouble and accidents involving involving cyclists. And you know, they would say more and more needs to be done to make it safer to cycle. And I know, like from our previous conversations, the council is this thing about air quality and the amount of traffic that uses Reading as a sort of rat run to get from one motorway to another is a big problem.
Yeah.
And if they can get more people out of their cars and onto bikes and on their feet, that helps everyone. And that's their kind of long-term goal. And now the government is saying, yes, you need to do this. It sort of speeds it all up.
Yeah. We talked just briefly about Reading Bridge. We were going to sort of, I was going to use this elsewhere, but might as well just mention it now. Obviously, Reading Bridge has been closed. I saw in the article that was written, unexpectedly closed. How do we know how something like that happens? I know, Rach, you live around that area. What sort of effect has that had on you, Rach, at all?
Well, personally, it's not really impacted me at all because I'm not going into Reading very frequently. I did forget about it the other night and needed to go to Tesco and ended up kind of having to do a bigger loop round. But I don't, just the timing of it seems really odd because they, you know, obviously we've all been on lockdown since March. Yeah. So they've had absolutely minimal people using the bridge, like the minimum that there would ever be for months. Yeah. And then they closed it a month or two ago to put some cycle lanes on Reading Bridge, which is fine.
Yeah.
Although at that point, people were a bit like, didn't you just spend a couple of million pounds a few years ago building a cycle bridge about 50 metres downstream, or upstream rather? But it does seem a bit odd that kind of as people are coming out of lockdown and some kind of normality is starting to happen, that then they choose to shut the bridge for 6 weeks. Well, sure, they have their reasons, but the timing of it just seems crazy.
So there's two things there. I mean, it's fair to say getting back to normality does mean let's have some flipping roadworks. It wouldn't be normal in Reading without some unfortunate roadworks. But the other thing is, is it Southern Gas Networks that are doing SGN that are doing it rather than not the council or anything like that. I read that it was unexpected.
That's Gasworks,
yeah. Unexpected? How does that unexpected? How is it unexpected?
I don't know the details of Southern Gas Networks, but it's possible they would have had to, all their contractors as well, they would have had staff furloughed and off, so there wouldn't have been anyone to do it. Also, the lockdown started in March, and so someone like Southern Gas Networks would have then had to work out how you would do a road project safely, so with the workers keeping away from each other and the equipment on and all that sort of stuff. So actually I can see why, due to the proximity of the lockdown and the project, that they would have had to postpone it due to logistical reasons. Whether they could have done it earlier during the lockdown once they worked out how to do it, I don't know. Clearly not, I would guess. I'm sure the council and SGN would have been keen to do it while the roads were quieter, but there's a quote in that story from Tony Page saying it wasn't possible. So the roads are still up. They're not what they were. I have seen a few people complaining on Twitter about how slow it is to get around because everyone's going over the same bridge now, essentially. But you would imagine that, I don't know the percentage of the workforce who are still working at home, but certainly a lot of people are. It's not as bad as it would be. And that's now, I'm also very glad that I'm not driving into Reading over the other bridge every day as well.
Talking of driving, the next bit we're just going to talk about is something that you've pulled together, Hugh, about things we haven't missed. Things we haven't missed, like the driving moments that we haven't missed in Reading during lockdown. There's quite a few in there. Which one was your favourite? Or which one do you not miss the most?
I'll tell you what it is. It's the three speed cameras on Peppard Road. between where I live and Reading, where each and every day on both the way in and the way back, I drove along that road, go through the speed camera at below the speed limit, probably 95% of the time, but then always think, oh, there was a speed camera back there. Was I going in below the speed limit? And that happens
when you're on autopilot.
Yeah.
When you're on, yeah. And there was something I did where someone explained the psychology of driving, and driving is always, you're always thinking one step ahead. So as soon as you've got past that particular aspect, so as soon as you've slowed down to 28 miles an hour and got through the speed camera, you then start thinking about the next, what's ahead of you. And so your brain instantly forgets what you've done, which is why you sometimes sort of wake up during your journey and think, oh, I'm here. I don't remember anything about how I got here. Did I check right at that roundabout, or did I pull out in front of someone? Or, you know, it's a weird kind of short-term memory, subconscious thing, driving. So I haven't had any fines.
Oh, that's good. Is it because it just reminds me of the time that you got fined on two or three occasions for going in the same bit of bus lane on Castle Hill?
Yes, I did. I got two days in a row, but I've also been fined twice for going in the same bus lane in Reading train station within a 10-second period in my lifetime.
Rach, is there one that you've not missed? Doesn't have to be on the list necessarily, but is there a bit you've in particular?
It's a bit hard for me to answer that one because I don't drive a lot at the best of times. So no, not really.
No,
I walk everywhere, yeah. So it doesn't really.
That's true. That's true.
Close enough to town to be able to walk in and Caversham, so. I do use my car as little as possible, and there are roads like coming back into Caversham, like down St Peter's Hill.
Yeah,
that is sometimes a nightmare. That queues right up the hill into Caversham Heights. That can take a while. And park it, if I have, on the rare occasion that I have driven. God, this sounds so middle class. When I've driven to Waitrose, you know, sometimes I can't get a parking space, but that's not been a problem during lockdown.
No. My
I said I was going to scrabble for an answer. Now yeah, I just sound really pretentious. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to answer. I'm fine walking.
got a car.
Do you even own a car?
No.
I do have one, but I worry slightly with my example. I've perhaps been watching too much Doctor Who during lockdown. But Castle Hill, right? And I've got a theory about Castle Hill. Now, everybody hates Castle Hill. We've talked about Castle Hill numerous times, the amount of time we get stuck there. So I've come up with a theory. So I think the traffic lights at Castle Hill, I think Castle Hill is like a living... a live being. It's a thing. It's the thing that. But what it does is it lives off people's anger at being stuck at those traffic lights. And the reason that I think this is true is because obviously during lockdown there's been a lot less traffic. People won't have been sat there for ages in massive queues, and that has welled up in this beast below Castle Hill, and that's what caused the explosion of the sinkhole, because it just went.
Just went postal.
Yeah, it's been so starved of people's anger, it just lost it, and it just went bang. And there we go, and that made people angry again, and now everything's safe. Anyway, silly theory. Thought you might enjoy that. I came up with that while I was doing my research. So.
The monster that lives on the castle here. I like it, yeah.
Indeed.
I'll change the lights, but then I'll send a cyclist over.
Yes.
I'll change the pedestrian crossing 100 yards down the road. Yes.
Ah, yeah. The sweet, sweet nectar of anger.
Yeah. I need to feed more, so the council can make this one part of the road pink and go in one direction at one time and another time. Yeah, that won't confuse everyone.
Oh dear. Okay. Anyway,
like that theory.
Movie. Thank you. I thought it was a great theory. Okay, that is it for... Oh, no, hang on. No, it's not. Not quite, because we've still got one more to talk about, which I completely forgot, which is... So, Wendy's, the controversial... Is it... It's not really controversial, is it? It's just...
What is Wendy's? What does she serve?
I had a quick look at the menu, and it's like...
Square burgers.
Oh, was it square? Okay. Oh, I didn't see square burgers, but it just basically looks like any other fast food restaurant. They do burgers, they do nuggets, they do chicken burgers, they do something called the Baconator, which is a registered trademark. I don't know if I have to pay if I say it, but the Baconator is a breakfast thing with cheese, sausage, bacon, egg, more cheese, bacon, and Swiss cheese sauce. I don't even know. Really? That seems a little...
There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, there's a lot to dissect.
Not sure for breakfast, maybe, but...
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't need any other meals, would you?
No, you'd be kind of done for the day. That's your 5, 6, and 7 of the 7 of the day. I don't know. I mean, it's another American chain opening up in Reading for the first time in the UK. Blah blah. But I don't know what it is about Reading that means that these places want to come here. And obviously, a lot of people are excited about this because they've been to America and they've had a Wendy's and it reminds them of their holidays. And a lot of people are really angry about it because. It's a fast food joint, and go and order food from independents, but all of that sort of thing. But I guess ultimately, I tried to work it out in my head, and I don't think there's a lot of difference between that and say McDonald's, which there are already plenty of. But at the end
are
of the
people
day,
really getting angry about it?
They do. People get furious about.
And they don't have to go there, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. But the way I thought was at least an
of course
unit.
It's much better to have a very large empty unit in a town.
Yeah, well, this is this.
Occupied.
At least an empty unit that's been empty for quite some time is gonna be occupied. This is the Nationwide building, the empty Nationwide building on Friar Street, and it's going to employ people locally as well. So, you know, come on, Wendy.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, especially at this thing is so rubbish, and people are losing. Losing their jobs and businesses are certain for everybody to actually have news that a new establishment is opening and they will have vacancies. Surely that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your choice of food.
You won't find many town centres around the country anywhere where there's loads and loads of independent shops and no chain shops. I mean, there are town centres elsewhere where there's loads of chain shops and not many independents, but generally... The best town centres have that mix, don't they? And so if we've got a Wendy's and a Taco Bell and all these other places, then a lot of town centres don't have that. So that shows that these companies are looking to invest in what they deem to be a good town, I would guess. And the independents exist alongside those.
Yeah.
There's no independent...
Like that place we talked about last week.
Oh, no, Wendy's... Yeah, no independent food supplier. Yeah. No independent food supplier in Reading Town Centre is going to think, oh, no, Wendy's is coming. I'm going to go out of business because of that. Because they're not doing the same things. And the mix is, you know, you go in the Harris Arcade in Reading and it's great and it's full of quirky shops. But, you know, if you want to go and have a burger, you've got all the chains. And if you want to get some new shoes or something, there's plenty of choice as well. It's good. It's generally a good town centre. It's a good mix, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
as long as John Lewis reopens.
Yeah, I'm on that.
I am. Yeah, I'm quite worried about that.
Well, all you've got me thinking about now is going to Shed for a lovely toasted sandwich. That's all I really want to do. We talked about things we'd queue for last week, and I think I would definitely queue for a Shed sandwich.
I'd queue for a big cheese.
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
I'd queue for Sam's Wraps. I'd queue at the Independents and the Who or at the food market. I probably wouldn't queue at Wendy's.
No.
Or McDonald's.
You're talking to the one who did queue at McDonald's, but there we go.
Yeah, don't get me back on Big Macs because I still haven't had one.
Okay, that is it for part one. In part two, we will be chatting about pubs reopening with the guys from the Allied Arms.
The Big Interview.
Hi, everybody. I am Zooming with Dom Humphreys at the Allied Arms. Hello, Dom.
Hello. How are we doing today?
Very well, very well. It's must have been quite a week for you guys. Suddenly, you're back at it.
It's been a couple of stressful weeks to get where we are now, but it's definitely been worthwhile.
So obviously, on Saturday, for anybody that doesn't know the Allied Arms, can you just explain to us a little bit about the pub? I know the pub, but just explain to our listeners.
Yeah, so we're a town centre pub, but a traditional pub in every sense you can imagine it. So low-hanging wooden beams, traditionally family-run. So we've got our landlord and landlady, Moira and Steve, who have been with the pub for nearly 20 years now. And it's, imagine a country pub, but right in the centre of town.
And there's a terrific garden space out the back. It's almost like an oasis, isn't it, I find, when I go there.
It's a little bit of a hidden gem. So it's definitely one of the biggest pub gardens in the town centre.
Yeah, you kind of, when you get in there, you don't quite realise, you would never know you were still in a bustling town centre, really.
No, exactly. It's a little bit of an oasis from the buses and the sirens sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. So Dom, obviously it's been quite a couple of weeks. You've turned things around. Now, and please don't take this any other way other than positively on what you've managed to achieve, but if someone said to me, which pubs do you think will be able to open on the opening weekend, I don't think the Allied Arms, due purely to its sort of indoor size, would have been top of my list. So how have you achieved opening?
You're exactly right. Our indoor space isn't really conducive to opening in these sort of conditions. So we've just said we're not going to use our indoor space full stop. So there's no seating inside. You're not allowed to drink in there. It's all in the garden only.
And does that obviously the amount of people in your venue will depend on the weather purely. And of course, because the cricket started and pubs can open, of course, it's decided it's going to rain. So was that a part of your thinking?
Yeah, definitely. The amount of people in the pub on a Saturday night has been drastically reduced, but that's intentional, so we can distance the tables a little bit further and we can make sure everyone's socially distancing as much as possible, and it's just a bit more manageable to ease everyone in a safe environment.
So just talk me through Saturday a little bit, because obviously the pub was open. I was in town on Saturday. We'd gone to a couple of places just to see what was going on, and you'll be pleased to hear we tried to come into the Allied Arms, but we were politely told by the barman that it was closed. That it was full, and that we wouldn't be able to come in. And you know, that seemed, as part of a function, that seemed to work really, really well. Happened on Saturday?
It was definitely bizarre having to turn customers away.
Yeah.
Not something we'd want to do, but it's just a case of we've reduced the amount of tables so everyone can be safely distanced. And they were generally full all day, but it was quite nice having a nice distance space where everyone could stay in there and feel safe. That's the main thing. If it means we've got to have less customers, that's fine. The priority is keeping our customers and our staff safe.
Was it important to get the pub open for the opening weekend, or was it just a decision that was reached?
We were always going to aim for as soon as possible, but we were always waiting for the guidance to make an actual decision. And then when it came out, we decided if we're safe to open, if we're ready, we will. If we're not, if we need more time, we'll take more time.
I know one of the big sort of concerns from a lot of the pubs and the landlords and the breweries that I've spoken to over the last couple of weeks have been toilets. And obviously, a pub the size of the Allied Arms, there is limited space in the toilet. So how was that? Where I'm trying to go with this is, were there any sort of sticking points? Were there any things you were really worried about? And I'm guessing that toilets would have been one of them.
Yeah, the toilets was definitely something we had to think long and hard about how we were going to make this work. But again, that's come into the play of reducing tables and just limiting the amount of people in full stop. That makes it a bit more manageable. And then we've just got a nice queue-in system outside, so it can be reduced the amount of people in there at one time.
And just to wrap things up a little bit, what was there any feedback? What did people say? What were their opinions?
we've got loads of feedback because everyone who's come in has basically said, we don't know what to expect. And that's fair enough because opening day, we didn't really know what to expect too much. We had an idea of how things were going to work, but we were aware that our idea might be might prove to be wrong after an hour or two. But no, of the feedback we've got from regulars and people who have never been in the pub before have said the system works really well, they felt safe, and they felt happy to come back, which is the important.
And is there anything that you're going to have to change? Was there something that went, oh, that's not working?
Some of our queuing systems and just about where people were standing and where people were gathering and queuing changed on the fly quite a bit on Saturday. I think we've got a nice polished system now that works quite well.
And you're looking forward to opening again this weekend. I presume you're open throughout the week as well.
Yes, we are open throughout the week. We're looking forward to a bit more sun, I think, is what we need next.
Yeah, that is hopefully the next thing. I guess just from the point of view. So I've obviously been out. You've been working in a pub yourself. What any bit of advice to someone who was thinking about venturing out? Maybe if they've seen so. So obviously there've been problems elsewhere. Reading, from my point of view, and I presume from your point of view as well, did fine. Reading, people behaved themselves from what I saw walking around. So someone may well be thinking, well, okay, Reading seemed all right. I might go in this weekend. What one bit of advice would you give to someone who was heading into town perhaps this weekend?
Especially for the weekend, quite a lot of pubs have the ability for you to book ahead so you can know if you've got a table and make sure you've got in somewhere safe. So calling up if you're unsure just to find out exactly how that specific pub is working is always a great idea, and that can reassure you that they know what they're doing as well.
Dom, thank you ever so much for joining me on this call. I will hopefully get in soon. That was what I was going to ask. You guys are pre-booking, aren't you, at the Allied?
So we are for Fridays and Saturdays, but we're saving some tables, so we are still open for walk-ins as well.
Fantastic. Dom, thank you ever so much for joining me, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The Big Interview.
Oh, that was a little chat with the team behind the Allied Arms. Just while we're talking pubs, did anybody go at the weekend? Hugh, I don't even know why I'm asking Hugh, because there's just no chance. Rach, I take it you didn't. You abstained.
I didn't. No, I did not.
Did you? Was it because you're not interested? You don't think it's a good idea, or you just don't normally go to the pub?
Well. Combination. Opportunities to go out when you have a small person are fewer.
Don't tell me these things.
No, I shouldn't be telling you that. But also I think, to be honest, the majority of my friends are of a similar mindset, that they don't quite feel ready to venture out. Yeah, I don't know. Had a group of friends said, oh, we're going to pop down to the Fox and Hounds. Yeah. Do you want to come? If I could have sat in the garden, maybe I would have, but... Yeah, it wasn't really on my radar to go.
That is exactly what happened to me.
Do you want a
Did you get railroaded
exclusive?
Into going?
Sorry, you both spoke at the same time. Rach, what did you say?
I said you got railroaded into going.
Well, I moralised for about half an hour about whether I should or not, and then I thought I really fancied a pint. So I did go.
I did think that, because you said last week, I don't think I'm going to, and then on Instagram, there's Tom at the pub.
Yeah.
Shocker!
the thing was, so when I went down to the brewery, we went to the Crown on the bridge, and we, as you will have heard in the interview, we did try to go to the Allied Arms, but they politely said, we're full. And we ended up at Brewdog, and
it wasn't because you looked like rapscallions. They didn't.
We weren't not allowed because of that. But if a pub had been heaving and didn't look like it was paying attention to the rules and that, I absolutely wouldn't have gone. But none of the pubs were absolutely rammed. Everything was done fairly safely. In fact, I did write something this week on it about the things that I noticed from the week. You know, we're all going to need more apps to order food. A general European style table service was in operation, and that was all, you know, it was all perfectly safe. But I did go So you know, there we are. It was nice. It was good. It was good to be doing something fairly normal, albeit you had to stay in little groups and everything. And there, Hugh, you said you had an exclusive.
I did. Literally, news just in.
Oh,
John Lewis in Reading opening on July the 30th.
Oh, yes.
Whoop.
The store in Newbury is closing.
Oh, that's okay. We don't mind about Newbury. That's fine.
That is really good news because I have, I mean, obviously I've said before that Rich is, he's a retail manager in the town centre. So we're obviously quite interested in it anyway, but with Debenhams having gone, and we've talked about House of Fraser before as well. If John Lewis were to go as well, I think that would have been absolutely disastrous for the high street.
Yes.
And a silly time to do it with, if the other two department stores were closing, surely people, because they do share concessions. So surely all the people who would have gone to Denver's, a House of Fraser, would perhaps go to John Lewis
instead.
But from a parental point of view, it is one of the best places when you have a particularly when you have a baby to go to the cafe, and they've got all the changing facilities and things in there,
and they've got fun lifts as well.
Yes,
they've got awesome lifts.
I presume, Hugh, you're going to have to go.
I am very relieved.
I presume you're going to have to write this story in a moment, so we'll move on and get through the last.
Possibly, yeah. I'll let you know. Conversations are being held.
Okay, so we'll move very quickly on to the random question.
The random question.
Random question this week. Guys, the question is, what, if anything, have you subscribed to during lockdown? I've seen some crazy things online.
Oh, we haven't done anything crazy. I have had some deliveries from the Loddon Brewery.
Oh, yes.
Which has been good. And the other thing was that we have jumped on the Just Eat bandwagon.
Oh, yes.
Because previously we just kind of, if we had a takeaway, we'd stick to our cumin. The Indian takeaway near us, and the Chinese at the end of the road. Maybe we'd go to Wings just for that Beatles vibe. but seeing as that a weekly takeaway has been our only luxury for the last 4 months, we started branching out. Ooh. And get going on the Just Eat app to see what we could find. And I've had some nice stuff.
We have had some great stuff off there. I did have a dreadful Chinese. Fancied a Chinese, and there were only about three restaurants open. And
it was awful.
I haven't been able to persuade my wife to go for a Chinese again since this. This was probably 10, 12 weeks ago. Hugh, anything?
Not really. We've had a few takeaways. We had a bad Chinese as well. if I can give a little plug, the Turkish Grill in Evergreen, it's shish kebabs from there. They are tremendous. They're really good. So if anyone, and they deliver to this area and to Caversham. So they are exceptional. But to be honest, terms of new pursuits, I haven't really had a chance to do
some of the stuff locally. I have seen is regular gin subscriptions, vegetables, like a weekly vegetable delivery, which was great. And I think there's also a regular meat. One of the local butchers is doing a regular meat delivery as well, which I thought were quite good things to subscribe to. And I subscribed to some fanzines myself because I needed something to do. So we didn't manage. I don't feel we've managed to elicit anything anything fantastical out of that. But you know, that's what happens with a random question. Sometimes it's Yeah, sometimes you get the story about when Peter Andre went to the Willink School, and you know that's just.
Have I told that one?
Yes, you have.
Once or twice.
I think that's the one I entered in the great award thing that we didn't win. Okay, thanks, guys. Here is Jeremy with how you can get in touch with the show.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @RealReadingPod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. Episode 97 is done and in the can.
Just quickly, what was the podcast that beat us? It was a little bit of a bigger operation than we were.
Oh yes, it was about it was a true crime podcast in Chicago.
Yeah.
The mean streets of Reading didn't quite cut it, sadly, despite your great story about about Peter Andre. Okay.
So try harder.
Indeed. We're always looking for more people to speak to. So if you know anyone you think would be a good interviewee on the show, then please let us know. You can get in touch via Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a moment, please give us a rating on your podcast app. And if you have time, please submit a review. We'll be back next week with more Reading-y goodness. In the meantime, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Got that wrong as well.